Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. Yeah, because a lot of times it's about the food. So yeah, Meatloaf Monday, hour three, we are going to the phones here. I'm proud to bring in somebody who's been a friend of this show for quite a while, Congressman Gary Palmer. He represents Alabama's 6th Congressional District, and he has been long in the era of in the area of conservative policy, as he founded the Alabama Policy Institute that you hear about on this show quite often, and for which I was also on staff for a period of time. But Congressman Palmer now serves ably in Congress, and he's on the phone. Congressman, how you doing?
Good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for making time.
Well, I'm glad to be on. Glad to see some sunshine. That kind of wondered what that bright thing was in the sky.
It is pouring down rain here at the studio in Gadsden. So I'm glad it's clear where you are. But hey, listen, Congressman, I want to run down two threads with you, at least two. The first, though, I covered earlier in the show. We had these three members of Congress from the Democrat Party in New Jersey that are now being accused, and I've seen the video, it's pretty legit, of actually interfering with and harassing and even manhandling law enforcement that were doing their jobs at an ICE detention facility. What do you know about this, and are they going to face repercussions, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, but from what little I've seen, there's one member actually laid hands on one of the DHS officers there, and I think that's a problem. That's a federal issue, not a local issue. So I think you'd have to ask Pam Bondi or Kristi Noem or Tom Homan what the consequences for that might be. But the interesting thing about this, Phil, is that the Democrat Party has become the party for the criminal class.
Yeah,
I mean these aren't people that they put in jail because they came over here to get a job and maybe try to help out their families. These are people who committed crimes. They're here illegally, but they committed crimes, some of them violent crimes. And now you've got three Democrat members of Congress trying to break into a jail to let them out. It reminds me of when I was a kid watching the Westerns when they put the bad guy in jail and his cohorts would tie a rope to the bars of the window and jerk it out and get him out. I mean, it's the same thing. They're the party of jailbreak now. And then you had these guys that went down to El Salvador, and it's just amazing.
Well, and I look at the things that happen here, like, you know, Jamal Bowman pulling the fire alarm. I mean, if this had been Republicans, Congressman, I feel like they would be bringing, you know, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger back to stand up the Jan 6 Commission again and get the whole band back together. But they are constantly allowing their own members to just do these things, and yet the rest of the world is supposed to lump it. I hope there will be repercussions. I'm not looking for anybody to have their lives ruined or whatever else, but especially the one individual, Congresswoman McIver, she's on video putting her elbow in the back of the head of a DHS and then shoving him and then screaming profanities like a drill sergeant wouldn't use. It was not only unseemly and unprofessional, it was violent, and it needs to be dealt with, and that's my hope.
Well, like I say, that's going to be the Department of Justice, maybe Homeland Security, because those are their people, and it's just they've lost their minds, and they get out and they lie about everything. They're out lying to people that they're going to lose their Social Security. They lied all throughout the campaign that if Trump got elected, people would lose their Social Security, their Medicare, and nobody's lost anything. They want to keep illegals on Medicaid. They want working age adults with no dependents to live off the government at our expense, and in doing so deny people who legitimately should be getting Medicaid or SNAP benefits, you know, food stamps, but they can't get them because these people are there on a waiting list because we've got all these people on these programs and that ought to be out working.
Well, the Democrat Party, and this, I guess, will be the last piece, is I don't want to lose the opportunity to talk about a bill you just passed, but the Democrat Party right now seems like it's struggling for messaging, struggling for leadership, struggling for any sense of cohesiveness. And granted, they still hold enough of a presence in the House to where it can obstruct the Republicans if we don't get all of our people on board. But I got to say, yeah, if we don't get our agenda done, it's going to be totally on us, because right now they are not like a high bar of competition.
No, but still, you know, 60-something million people or 70-something million people voted for Kamala Harris.
That's true.
And some people might say that's because they so many people just didn't like. But still, you just have to question somebody's judgment when you look at the direction the country's gone and the things that we've allowed to happen, and then you see what you just brought up about them trying to break these criminals out of jail in New Jersey. It is insanity, honestly. And I think the country's waking up, especially young people and minorities. They're waking up that they've been used. And I just pray to God that we'll get through all of this and do the things that need to be done for the good of the country. And people look back on this Congress and think that we did something worthy to be remembered.
Well, I agree with that, and I hope so. Well, listen, one thing you did, which sparked my imagination, because for the last 4 years on this radio show, I've talked about what I call the Green New Steel, and the amount of money being thrown at the agenda of you know climate change and radical efforts to curb the existential crisis of climate change, and you just passed a bill that deals specifically with the Biden administration's efforts to change all of our appliances, and Trump just signed it into law a few days ago. So tell us about that real quick.
Well, they put out a regulation banning natural gas fired tankless hot water heaters.
Yeah,
and they'd also try to ban gas range tops and. Just they're everything they do is anti-fossil fuel, and they put that regulation out on Christmas Eve night. I guess they thought nobody would be paying attention. We saw it, introduced a resolution to repeal that, and it passed the House. I actually had 11 Democrats vote with us on it and got it through the Senate, and President Trump signed it Friday afternoon.
It's a good bill, and it came at the perfect time. And I like the fact that now that we've got executive orders dealing with this, but now we've got an actual act of Congress, which has been signed into law by the president. So it's official. We're not going to lose our gas stoves, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And he signed a couple other bills, too, that these folks, we passed a bill on reversing the EV mandate.
Yeah,
and when they put out these executive orders like Biden was doing, the Office of Management Budget puts out an impact statement, and they have to give you an impact statement on how it will affect the budget. And I started reading them back earlier in the year, around back in January, and they'd all say the same thing in terms of budgetary impact. It was de minimis, de minimis, de minimis. But when we got to the EV mandate, It said de minimis, but then it said that it would save 300 million gallons of gasoline over the time period that the executive order covered. Well, our highway trust fund, federal highway trust fund, funded by 18.5 cents per gallon tax on gasoline.
Yeah.
So they basically said that we're going to eliminate $30-something billion in federal highway taxes. That's not de minimis.
No.
So we were able to get that repealed, and I think 55 Democrats voted for that one.
Did they really? Well, that's...
They're not all crazy. Just, well, maybe I went too far with that statement.
Well, I mean, the thing's in law now, and I'm glad, and I think it was right around the time that they were talking about this proposal to ban gas, you know, stoves and all that. that there was a video or an image of Kamala Harris in her own kitchen with a gas stove. And you look at it and go, yeah, come on.
Yeah. Well, maybe she didn't know it was gas. I don't get the impression that she does a lot of home-cooked meals. But, I don't know.
Well, do you see the green agenda being, I mean, I do. I see it being pushed back, but is there more legislation to come? Are we? I mean, I'm so glad for the things you did and for the EV mandate being repealed. And then how do we deal with California and what do we do with our energy sector? What else do you see coming in that regard?
Well, there's more bills coming. They've already been filed. I filed some. I filed a couple in the last few weeks. But also, I chair the subcommittee on Energy and Commerce Committee, the
right.
subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, and we're looking into that $20 billion that got shoved out in the last 3 or 4 weeks
yes.
for the Biden administration. They shoved out money so fast that even the Biden official says it's like throwing gold bars off the Titanic.
Yeah.
And 8 organizations got that money, Phil. One of them was Stacey Abrams'
yes.
group. In the 3 months before they got the grant from the federal government, their revenue was $100. They got $2 billion. There was another one that their revenue for 2023 was $550,000 for the whole year. They got $7 billion. So I've had the our legal team send letters to all 8 of those organizations demanding that they hand over all of their communications, emails, text messages, any communication with the Biden administration. We want to know how they got the money, what was the grant process, and what have they done with the money. And they've done what we knew they'd do as a document dump. They sent us about 70,000 pages. But we're going to go through this, and we're going to stay on it. I don't know how much of it we can claw back, but we're going to find out what happened here.
Outstanding. Well, it needs to, because accountability and transparency have to go hand in hand. Once we know it's there, we have to have the accountability to go with it to make a difference. But Congressman, well, I gotta leave it there unless you got something to add real quick.
No, we just got our work cut out for us. We got a lot to do on this reconciliation package, and we're not where we need to be on that yet, Phil. We'll talk about that later.
All right, sir. Well, I appreciate your time, and thank you much. Safe driving.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, listen, we're taking a break right now, but I'll just be honest with you. You can't repeal this stuff fast enough. And it's amazing how much last-minute money was going out the door and last-minute executive orders were being signed by the auto pen. And I'm just glad to see they're repealing the stuff and then seeking to try and repatriate some of those funds back into the coffers. It's amazing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. That was a groovy bump. That was a groovy bump.
That was.
It's new bump day, by the way.
New bump day.
New bump day.
It's like hump day, new bump day.
Welcome to new bump day. It's going to be new bump week. Yeah, we got quite a bunch of bump stock to work through. Get it? Bump stock? Can't do bump stock. Hey, a couple more things on the Green New Steel real quick. I'll lay some stuff on there for you. So I called this segment Reversing the Green New Steel. You heard that there's legislation. That was Gary Palmer on a minute ago, U.S. Representative Gary Palmer from the Birmingham area. He's a Republican, hails out of Hoover, actually, is where he's from. And he just had a bill that was his bill that dealt with the whole thing with gas heaters and, you know, versus electric heat and, you know, the idea that you can't have gas anything in your house and no gas appliances. And that has now been basically turned off, if you will. The gas has been turned back on. How about that? With his legislation, which Trump signed into law just the other day. How about this one? Fox News has a piece that came out just about 3 weeks ago. A $5 billion green energy project that had been touted by the Biden administration and the Democrats was rushed and relied on faulty science? No. Come on. Say it ain't so. Fox News says the Empire Wind Project was being developed by an energy company called Equinor. It was going to see construction of 147 ocean wind turbines off the coast of New York and New Jersey. A $5 billion project. Oh, by the way, funded with government dollars largely. Come on. The problem with the Green New Steel was it can't stand up on its own. So anyway, the basically the Empire Wind Project is being shut down. It's being halted. It was bad science. It was insensitive habitats. It was destroying spawning grounds. It was basically doing everything the left says they won't do. It's like, you know, at this point, you wonder, what do they stand for? Because it depends on what moment they're in. I love this one. This one's important. One of my favorite episodes of Last Man Standing with Tim Allen was him and his buddy finding out that a guy had a big stash of black market light bulbs. Black market light bulbs. Yeah, you know, the good kind. The kind we're not allowed to buy anymore. Did you know in January of this year, I've got to pull this piece from Rico Light. It's a website out of the UK, but they were talking about Trump. Do you know that Trump signed an executive order right after he took office, removing the regulations on light bulbs, allowing us to go back to real light bulbs?
I actually don't recall that.
No. I did not either.
I didn't even know we weren't on normal light bulbs either.
It says the inclusion of light bulbs has taken some lighting industry executives as hinting at possible reprieves for the incandescent light. You mean we're allowed to have incandescent light again? I hate those new, you know, sterile-looking freakish bulbs that when you turn them on, you're not sure what you've got. And then they have, you know, the tendency to, they just like suddenly they're gone one day and then they cost $17 to replace a bulb.
Yeah.
But anyway, at a rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina back in 2019, Trump said, "I look better under incandescent light than these crazy lights that are beaming down." And sure enough, he decided to go ahead and do away with it. Bottom line is, you can get your old, you can get your old bulbs are new again, and that's nothing but good news. What else in the Green New Steel? Oh yeah, electric school buses. Now Kamala Harris loves electric school buses. They're very important. She loves electric school buses. Goodness. Anyway, story that came out last Thursday. Headline: Trump throws the electric school bus transition into chaos. Well, of course he did. All right, we're coming back. We'll talk about EV mandates and the electric school bus chaos. And then we'll wrap it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Last half hour of a Meatloaf Monday on a new bump day coming up. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, I mean, it goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now call Fort Benning. Once again, Fort Benning. Oh, by the way, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio footprint. Then there's the online, which is like everywhere. Just go to anywhere you are in the whole wide world. Go on the World Wide Web. Go to rightsidemedia.org. You can find all the connectivities to live stream the show every single day. I got several text messages. You got something over there? A comment? Who do you got?
We got David Edwards on the Facebook live stream. Says, "Great show. I'm having meatloaf."
But you know what? We just found out, JP and I are actually related. JP and I just found out that a member of our family makes a smoked meatloaf.
Yeah, I'm going to have to tell my dad to get on that smoked meatloaf.
I'm going to have to complain that you and I are finding out about it after the fact.
I know, right? It's ridiculous.
There's something about that just smacks of, it's like family favoritism or something going on. I was in this section, and I'll finish this up. By the way, you're getting kudos on the bumps.
Am I?
Roughly Ann from Huntsville, and I don't know which one it was now, said that around, what time was that? Oh, that was the top of the hour.
Yeah,
her favorite bump.
The last bump of the 3 o'clock hour, I think that was. And then John from Huntsville thinks that bump was the best one so far.
The last one?
Yeah.
That was a real song, by the way. I could tell. That was She's a Little Runaway by, is that Bon Jovi?
I think so. I think a lot of these are intended to sound like real songs, but it's not the real song, I guarantee. Ooh. I promise you.
Oh. By the original artists.
The original artists made that one, yeah. John Bovey.
John Bovey. And the original artists.
Yeah.
Live and in person. Ronco for $19.99. You too can have the disc that all your friends will be amazed at. Mike from Florence says, "The daylight LED light bulbs I do like, however. Even if the bulb lasts a long time, you sometimes get one with a single LED going bad and flickering." Yes, I've had that happen. He said, to me, that leaves the bulb useless and I do better in the dark. I know, causing dogs to have seizures and everything. He said, also, I always wondered how much was actually taken into consideration with heat output. That incandescent bulb could have been enough to keep from turning the space heater on. Point taken. Might be the real reason for chicken and egg shortages and high prices and they were freezing to death and stuff. Wow. If we had just gotten real bulbs. Just saying. You know, he may be onto something there.
I think he is onto something. I didn't even think about that.
I did not either, but I think it's possibly true. Headline from a Substack that I pulled. Great news, it said. Trump throws the electric school bus transition into chaos. Well, what he's basically pointing out here is that Trump said, we're not doing electric school buses unless you can prove they're reliable. And he's also pausing all federal funds to subsidize them. That's the problem, y'all. When you've got, in fact, I've got another article. Where is that? There's an article I pulled from New York Post or anyway, it was Reuters. Here, I'll grab this one right here. They're basically saying, Trump's cutting money. What are we going to do? And so that's the point. So the Trump administration, this is a piece on Reuters that came out last week. President Donald Trump's administration on Friday of a week ago last Friday, proposed cutting billions of dollars in federal funding for projects, including renewable energy. And then they basically go on to say, if we don't have subsidies, what are we going to do? Here's an idea. How about you just go like, I don't know, into the private sector and build the better mousetrap. And if you're not there yet, then this is not your day. We shouldn't be propping up industry that can't sustain itself. That's not what that's the government picking the winners and losers. The government is supposed to set the foundation or the conditions during which the private sector can thrive and then get out of the way. That's what's supposed to happen. In capitalism, the better mousetrap is built and people rush to it. And so I'll give you my analogy once again, and feel free to then plagiarize it all you want to, because plagiarism is the highest form of flattery, and I get that. So what I'm saying is, you can look at the cell phone, the smartphones that we all carry in our hands every single day that some of us use for like way more than a phone now. It's an actual device. It's your alarm clock. It's your camera. It's your email. It's all your stuff. That started off as an idea that was not perfected yet. And then one day someone decided we could have a phone if you had a giant bag phone and you put it in your car, but you had to carry it inside with you, but you first had to unscrew the antenna that was mounted to the outside of your windshield. And then if you wanted to really have one, you could use it, but only in certain cities where they actually had a network set up. And then you had limited minutes, and it was very expensive. And then at some point, someone came up with a version of the phone that could actually sort of fit in your pocket, sort of like a brick, but you can carry a brick in your pocket if you really try. And so the phone got smaller and it got more portable and it was kind of clunky, but you still had fixed minutes and you had to buy a plan and you didn't turn it on until you needed it because you didn't want it to waste minutes. And then all of a sudden one day, somebody had competition. They got a better idea. They came up with a phone that's actually manageable in size and you could fold it in half and put it in your pocket. And yeah, the flip phone was born. Crazy. How cool is that? A phone small enough to actually carry in your pocket. And you still got to pay for minutes and don't use up all your data. And by the way, if you're calling long distance, it's still going to count. And then one day you realized, wait, now long distance is free. Why would I use a phone at home to call grandma? I can use this and it doesn't cost me anything. And then next thing you know, you begin to memorize the places where you drive where suddenly your signal goes out because you know your coverage has gaps. But over time, the coverage began to expand. And then one day someone said, hey, I can send letters. Let me text somebody. But you had to use one button for three letters. You know what I'm saying? AAA, BBB, whatever you got. And you get your message out. And then they invented the BlackBerry. And that was cool because you could type on it and send messages. Wow. It's all kind of black and chromatic. And then one day someone came up with a smartphone. And now can you imagine being without it? And what you watch there is the evolution of the private sector building the better mousetrap, and then somebody else would build a better mousetrap, and then somebody else would build a better mousetrap, and you didn't see government propping it up. You saw government setting the foundations for the world in which private sector could succeed, and it did. And it revolutionized the world, and how many of you actually have a phone hanging on your kitchen wall like we did growing up. Very few, I would imagine. All that to say, not so much for green energy. Green energy has always believed it needs to be propped up. It can't sustain itself. It's not fully viable yet. So we need government dollars to get it in there now because it's really important that we have it now. So they created the spun narrative we call the Green New Steel. And the Green New Steel made this the existential crisis of our lifetime. And suddenly, you had things that were being thrust upon us way ahead of their time. Like, oh, I don't know, electric vehicle mandates. We don't have charging infrastructure yet. It doesn't matter. You got to have these. But we're not sure we want that. I've got range anxiety. Will the charge up? Will I be able to get to my destination? To stop asking questions? This is important for the world. If they had done that with cell phones, we would have been forced to carry around a big honking bag phone and hardly ever use it. And that's the way they did with electric vehicles, electric school buses, electric everything. Trying to kill your gas range in your house, trying to drain the energy sector of anything oil and gas, killing off coal-fired plants, determined that we were going to move to alternative sources of energy, never mind that they weren't as viable, never mind that they couldn't produce in bad weather, never mind that they were more susceptible to destruction, never mind they were actually really hard on the environment, never mind they weren't proven. And so suddenly, we had the government deciding that it knew better than the private sector. And where are we now? Trump budget slashes renewable energy farms, renewable energy and farms and EPA. Trump proposes a $15 billion cut to renewable energy's carbon captures. This is on Reuters, Dateline, May 2nd. Cancels $6 billion for EV chargers. Why not? It's unclear how Congress will make the cuts to funds already in U.S. law. The Green New Steel is going away. I'm excited. For 4 years on this show, I coined the phrase Green New Steel 4 years ago, and I have been talking about it ad nauseum for 4 years. And now I finally get to talk about what this dipper is, the reversing of the Green New Steel. And y'all, that's a whole new day. And I'm going to tell you right now, we dodged a bullet, man. Because if we had been forced to keep going down that ridiculous road where agendas that make no sense are subsidized by government to try and force them upon us to pretend they make sense, then there's no telling where we'd be. We're back, baby. We are so back. All of the above, that's what I say. All of the above. If it works, make it work in the private sector. And people will buy it. They will. That's the way the market forces work. But if there's no demand, but lots of supply, then you get inflation. Then you get stagflation. Then you get the Biden economy. And that's what we had. And it is time for us to be back. All right, we're going to take a break right there. We'll come right back from the break. Last break of the day on Meatloaf Monday, New Bump Day. Meatloaf Monday, New Bump Day. Good job on the show, man. Looks good, all of it. I like it. New systems, new bumps. We're still in business. We'll be right back.